With over 95 years of experience, Gallagher has the expertise to help businesses navigate complex challenges and seize new opportunities. As a proud partner of the Milwaukee Bucks, Gallagher is dedicated to building confidence together. To learn more, visit ajg.com. Gallagher, your trusted insurance broker and HR benefits consultant.
You're listening to a Bucks Plus audio production on the Bucks Plus Network.
From inside the arena to all across the city streets, uncovering all the stories that make up the Milwaukee Bucks. This is Behind the Bucks, presented by Gallagher, your trusted global insurance and consulting partner. Find out more at ajg.com.
Presented by Prime Video, Giannis, The Marvelous Journey is a documentary from Improbable Media and Words and Pictures. It intimately details the path of NBA champion Giannis Antetokounmpo traveling from the streets of Athens to global stardom. From Nigeria to Greece to now his home of Milwaukee, the life story of Giannis thus far is an epic one, filled with inspiration, heartbreak, courage, and triumph. I'm Jen Latta, and in this bonus episode of Behind the Bucks, we talk to Jay Williams. After finishing a legendary college basketball career with Duke, he was drafted second overall by the Chicago Bulls in 2002. A motorcycle accident after his rookie season robbed Jay of the rest of his playing career, but he's found tremendous success in media as a radio and TV personality and as an analyst for college hoops in the NBA. Jay is now the chairman of Improbable Media, a company he's co-founded with Milwaukee Bucks superstar Giannis Antetokounmpo. Improbable Media teamed up with Words and Pictures to create Giannis The Marvelous Journey, the documentary now available on Prime Video. I talked to Jay about how the company was created, what his role as chairman actually entails, why he wanted to be involved in the athlete media space, and more. Here's my conversation with Jay Williams.
I'm so pleased to be joined by Jay Williams, who obviously you see all over the ESPN airwaves covering college basketball and talking on Get Up and other shows. But he is also the co-founder of Improbable Media with Giannis Antetokounmpo. And I think that people might hear that connection. And the first question is, how did the two of you get connected, Jay?
Well, you know, I've had a pretty interesting path. I've always kind of been in the production creative-like world. It started with LeBron and Mav with doing a show called Best Shot, which we sold a season to YouTube. And then after learning about the ins and outs of that relationship and how they were building Spring Hill, which was so intriguing, just understanding, you know, Mav's vision and LeBron's vision and where they were going with their brand, I then started working with Kevin Durant and Rich Kleiman. We sold two seasons of The Boardroom, the ESPN, which can be a little bit tricky when you're selling content to your employer and things of that sort. But I saw the direction of where athletes were going in general. And then this started, you know, several years ago with cold calling Giannis's agent, Alex Tsiratsis, and articulating the vision of what I had seen in the space. And I loved the Giannis's story. And they quickly picked up on it. And we all started building a pretty extensive relationship. And it's led to the birth of something I think that's going to have a global theme in the way we're looking through sports.
You said you saw the direction that athletes were going. I know what you mean by that. But for the broader audience, what do you mean by the direction that you saw athletes were going?
So it's also something like, you know, I participate in general, and you know exactly what I'm talking about. You know, every single day when you wake up and you're part of this content machine, what that narrative is important. And, you know, I've come off doing a radio show for 2.5 years. So I get that if there's a dull day, how are you looking at a theme in an interesting way that can keep the audience engaged? And I think when you do that over and over and over again, I think we've gotten to a place where we really lean into salacious news around athletes, entertainers. And when you're out in the field, when you're calling games and you're meeting people, you just see how when articles come out, that is their reality, right? Like, it's so funny. Like, I had a situation with Caitlin Clark where I said, I'm unwilling to call her great. And I meant to say greatest, but I said great, right? And then I start using, you know, terminology, Jen, like immortality and in the pantheon, because I thought I had said that. Well, when all the articles come out, Jay Williams unwilling to say she's great, and then when I call her great the next day, it doesn't catch traction the same way me calling her, not willing to say she's great. So that type of news sells. And I think at the end of the day, with where athletes and their contracts are going, with how we're looking at, you know, team valuations, league evaluations, I think you have people that are like, well, hold on a second. Like, I have a narrative of how I see the world too. And who's helping me think through that? Who's helping me tell that story? And I think sometimes looking at things more realistic as an athlete, as a former player, you can still do the media thing while being an athlete. And I think those are the type of stories that I'm so intrigued in helping young and older athletes go to market with and how they tell it.
I appreciate how enlightened you were by your time doing The Daily Show that is, as we well know, cut up into 12-minute segments, which those time constraints don't allow for a lot of nuance, especially when you're talking about athletes who are complex, three-dimensional human beings. They can't be parsed as simply as we sometimes want to in those type of stories and in those type of narratives. And what I think you're getting to also is athletes, they're conscious of their brands. And how much a media news cycle can very quickly affect their brand and then affect their bottom line. And so what I'm hearing from you is this idea of athletes kind of taking hold of their own branding, their own narratives, and wanting to be able to have their own media companies to share some of that content so that if people are interested in hearing the whole story, y'all are providing that. Is that fair to say?
Yeah. I mean, also, like, you know, this isn't just like, hey, well, Jay had an idea and he cold pitched it to Giannis's agent and now they're doing so. Like, I've been thinking about this for over 15 years, Jen. Like, you know, one of the most humbling experiences of my life was me learning how to reiterate my story to the world. And my story got turned down by four different publishing companies because they kept telling me that, well, it's not the end of the journey yet. And if there's anything that I've learned after almost passing away at 21 years old, after, you know, being a two-time National Player of the Year, after being the second pick in the draft, after having the first triple-double since Michael Jordan, and then after having my motorcycle accident, is that I was going through a lot of shit in my life at a really young age. And there's nothing that's given about my life and me being here tomorrow. So why wouldn't I talk right now about the chapters I've lived and chronicle that in the way that is thoughtful, introspective, and actually building more connected bridges to people than everybody saying, oh, that's Jay, he's so different than everybody else. You know, and I think in particular working with Giannis's story, like we hit on so many different themes. I mean, we hit on the theme of immigration. I mean, one day him and his family are running away from people not wanting to be noticed, staying in the back shadows of alleyways, to the next day, Nigeria wanting to give him a passport because all of a sudden a couple of scouts came to see him. And now all of a sudden that's in competition with Greece, and Greece gives him a passport. And the next day him and his mom and his dad and his brothers are meeting the prime minister. Like, that's insane to me, right? Like, that's an extreme. When you hear him talk about, you know, I just want to survive, that's where that mentality comes from. But I think sometimes things get lost. And then when you get a chance to revisit things that people say, Skip Bayless saying, well, he's not an alpha male. You're like, whoa, because incrementally he got up to a certain point and he didn't achieve it. So now he's not an alpha male, where everything in this man's life, he's been an alpha male. He's had to take care of his family. He's always thought about them first. So I think being able to take those things and then twist them a little bit to show you the entire story, and then let the audience, you make a decision for yourself who you think this individual is.
What do you remember about that first meeting with Giannis?
Some people may look at this differently, and I can explain what I mean by this. I've never met somebody so big, but also the same size as me. And that's not literally, I think that's figuratively, right? His presence is so dominating. He's a massive individual, right? There's a reason they call him the Greek freak. Now, look, I was drafted second behind Yao Ming, who's 7'6". Like, I'm used to being around these types of people, Jen. And, you know, this personality and the jokes and all these things, it feels so colossal and it's so big. But when you're in his presence, you feel like you're just talking to somebody who's trying to figure it out and trying to make it and doesn't have all the answers. And the level of humility is so different. And I think for him, too, like that global refugee story it's such an interesting tip piece to all the things happening in our country right now to lean into. So, you know, meeting him for the first time and actually hearing him talk about becoming a father, you know, how that's changed him. You know, I lost my mom 11 months ago. He reached out to me about that. There's a real connectivity there on a human level. And I think sometimes not just GA and myself, but a lot of players just want to be spoken to like they were the guy next door a little bit, you know, and not criticized or scrutinized on every decision, every word, or every play on the court, but just talking to like a friend.
Behind the Bucks is presented by Gallagher. Trust is the foundation of any successful partnership, especially when it comes to managing risk and planning your future. That's why businesses turn to Gallagher. With over 95 years of experience, Gallagher has the expertise to help businesses navigate complex challenges and seize new opportunities. As a proud partner of the Milwaukee Bucks, Gallagher is dedicated to building confidence together. To learn more, visit AJG.com. Gallagher, your trusted insurance broker and H&R Benefits consultant.
From your vantage point, what do you think has been the most difficult part for Giannis as he continues to acclimate to his journey, right? Because there are stages. I keep thinking about how he posted recently on social media, hate is the new love, as though he is conscious of the way his actions are being scrutinized. What do you think has been the most difficult part of continuing to navigate that journey?
I mean, I would have had it too if I played 15 years in the league and if I were a back-to-back MVP. It's a word that I think we all challenge with in our relationships is trust. Who can you trust? My wife and I talk about this, you know, because my wife is like, you know, we need to make more friends. And I'm like, yes, we do. I understand that. But like, it's hard for me to trust people. Like, that has to be earned over time. And when my job pulls me away from my family so much, and I am fixated. I am a little bit myopic on being the best I can be within my vertical, within my industry. And GA is that degree even more. There's not a lot of time in the day to be everything for everybody. So I think over our relationship and our company, learning what those boundaries were. And Jen, you know, I took some hard lessons on that. You know, even working with Kevin Durant and Rich Kleiman, you know, I told a story one day on air that was kind of in the inner sanctum. I thought it was a story that kind of showcased Kevin Durant more like Michael Jordan, which he kind of is to me with the way he watches tape and how he competes. And it turned into a really big thing. Now, KD and I were able to get over that throughout time and conversation, and I had to inevitably apologize. But I think learning how to navigate that, especially when boundaries aren't laid out with, hey, here's what the do's and the don'ts are, I think is difficult for everybody as we deal with personality traits. And when you're in the media every single day and a lot of things are being spewed that maybe aren't correct or aren't factual, and then people will lean into those non-factual things, it's a tough world to live in. So I would say trust is the biggest thing.
What are the daily responsibilities of you in this role with Improbable Media?
It's my company. You know, I'm a co-founder of it with GA, and I think I'm always involved daily with our team, with our CEO, with our VP of brands and marketing, with our social media team and how we're thinking about our strategy. I'm heavily involved in what the vision is ultimately. I think there is something that I've been leaning into over the last like 5-6 years about integrated media. Now, the Kardashians have been able to do that in the best way. Not that in front of your face, but, you know, as athletes are looking at, and it's just not related to GA, it's going to work with other people and other assets as well. As we think about where we are with NIL and schools learning how to become more operationalized and more of a business construct than just the wild, wild west of now you see teams and schools hiring GMs. You got people who have brands that are bigger than the school itself, Caitlin Clark, Olivia Dunn, Angel Reese, players of that sort. We're going to have Cooper Flagg next year, which would be an interesting case study for Duke. So I think having players being able to think about what their ecosystem looks like and what I call their portfolio and how they're interweaving brand messaging all throughout their portfolio where it's interconnected. You're already seeing Steph do this, LeBron do this. You know, Steph has Unanimous Media. Steph has 30 Inc., which Unanimous Media is underneath. He has the Underrated Tour. He has his own brand with Under Armour. And all these lines of business work cohesively together to think about what the portfolio message is, right? And how it all culminates towards one point. So as I look at my own portfolio and things that are meaningful to me and how I've weaved in messaging and media around those things, doing that for other people and essentially, you know, building a company based off that, it's integrated media and integrated living. I feel like that's where we're going with athletes. That's what they want to build. And at the end of the day, instead of just having your business manager manage your portfolio, we're coming to a day and age where the athlete itself is starting a lot younger of an age. Athletes want to be at the table. They want to be able to have conversations with the billionaire and talk about what their value proposition is and, you know, what they see the Q1 strategy being. And I think being in those rooms with those guys, spearheading the next set of leaders and how they're going to build their businesses is ultimately what I want my legacy to be. I really want Improbable Media to be the Motown of production creative services for athletes and entertainers. If you want to call me Barry Gordy, fine, but whatever, I'll just be Jay.
So in the storytelling space, we often prioritize authenticity and we tell people to be themselves, that the viewer can see through BS essentially. And yet that always seems to be a juxtaposition with strategy, which is obviously a huge part of what y'all are doing. So when Giannis is strategizing the narrative, the branding, what he wants his legacy to be, what is he prioritizing?
Authenticity. I mean, I think that was one of the main reasons to do a piece like this. Hearing him process the loss of his father to me was such a big moment. You know, I've had to process the loss of my mother while I still had to go to work every day, while I had to be a father, while I had to be a husband and still have my day-to-day responsibilities. The world moves on, and how you move on is very important. So hearing him talk about that, hearing him talk about becoming a father but not having his father there, watching him win a championship and the first people he looks for is his mom, his brother, his girlfriend, who's now going to be his wife soon, hopefully, and, you know, and his kids, and then sit down and just have that moment where it's, you see him processing in real time, like, my dad's not here. I can't believe this has happened. What does this mean? It was such a deep moment for me. And I think now, like you stated, Jen, people know about cash grabs. Like, we see it all the time. Like, you'll, and I used to get this all the time with some of my investments. So you get an RFP that comes across your table from a brand, and you're like, this makes no sense for me to do. So I think being able to take these RFPs from brands and then working with Giannis and his team, thinking through things that are organic and authentic to who he is, maybe where his brand was, maybe where his brand is, or maybe where he wants his brand to go, and then thinking about how to interweave that in true authentic storytelling, that's a brand's dream, because now you're part of the real journey. You're integrated into how somebody's using you in their day-to-day life and the stories around that that are meaningful to them. That keeps the client way more engaged because now they're tapping into more of the humanity of the person. And frankly, it keeps the endorser engaged because now they get a chance to really storytell around a product that's meaningful to them in a way where they're showcasing a piece of themselves to the world, you know? And I think at the end of the day, we all want to be seen for who we really are, not get caught in that soundbite or that, you know, that 1 minute sound clip that just portrays you the wrong way for clicks.
So I obviously exist in the feature space at ESPN, and we famously do not pay for access or for these stories. And yet when you can sell a long form documentary to a company like Amazon and Prime, it almost takes out the ability of some of these other more traditional platforms, ESPN or Fox or whatever they may be, to do these types of stories. Do you see a world in the near future where athletes are not willing to share their stories for free with some of these popular platforms like ESPN?
No, I think you're going to get a combination of a lot of things. I think, first off, there's a lot of incredible stories in the world of sports. I mean, we just had The Last Dance. Now, that was a significant penny, but that's Michael Jordan, right? The greatest of all time on the ESPN platform. So I think you will have the major superstars will definitely look at their brand and think, how can I monetize this in the biggest possible way? And then what is the strategy off of that? But we are getting to a level though, Jen, where with some of these team valuations, with some of these TV right deals that are on the verge, we're gonna have mid-level guys making $30 million a year. That's a lot of money. And you're gonna have some incredible stories where not everybody is gonna be able to garner the attentions from the Apples and the Amazons. And you're already seeing them pivot on how they're going to market on certain stories. They're looking for global presence. And Matt, but there are a lot of other stories out there that I feel like can generate a lot of revenue for companies like you just made mention, for people that want to actually showcase to the world what they've been through. So I think you're always gonna see a combination of both. I just think the bigger stories are gonna be, the margin and the price for those stories are gonna be a lot higher, considering live sports is kind of like the last bastion of things that still draw so much audience attention.
What's next for Giannis? What's next for you and the company? What are you guys hoping to accomplish next?
Well, there's some pretty massive things in 2024, 2025 on the horizon. I think that the one thing that any company wants to do, you want to scale it outside of Giannis, right? So I think there will naturally be things that Giannis is involved in doing, but I think the more we build the business on the peripheral and outside, I think is where we're going to have a huge value proposition to a lot of other people. And I'm serious, when I meant it, like when you think about Motown, Motown had a variety of individuals under that label. It was just not Anita Baker or the Temptations. There were a lot of individuals, Al Green, I can go through the list of the names. So I think setting a benchmark for what we are and how we think about storytelling and how that can tie into your investments as well. Cause we still haven't talked about the intersection between sports, business, finance, and entertainment, right? And how you can tie and weave those through lines into your storytelling as well. And how that leads to different equity stakes within different investments and things of that sort. So I think our company can go a variety of different ways, just not with GA, but with other athletes, entertainers, for kind of spearheading and showcasing the way.
Behind the Bucks is presented by Gallagher. A huge thanks to Jay Williams for joining us to share how his relationship with Giannis started, his involvement in Improbable Media, and his thoughts on how the media landscape is changing for athletes. Giannis, The Marvelous Journey is available now on Prime Video. If you want to learn more about the documentary and the perspectives of those involved in the story and the making of the film, you can find the other parts of this Behind the Bucks series on Bucks Plus, on Apple Podcasts, and on Spotify.
This has been a Bucks Plus audio production.